Hello and welcome to the Providence College Podcast. I'm your host, Liz Kay, and I'm joined by producer Chris Judge of the class of 2005. Here on the Providence College Podcast, we bring you interesting stories from the Fryer family. This week, we're talking with Alex DeMars, a health policy and management major from Brunswick, Maine. DeMars worked for Providence College's physical plant for 2 years, gaining valuable skills he was later able to apply as a facilities management intern at Maine Medical Center in Portland. Now DeMars continues to work remotely for the Medical Center's Facilities and Engineering Division during the school year. Alex, it's great to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you too, Liz, and thanks for having me, guys. I appreciate this opportunity.
So tell us a little bit about your internship at Maine Medical Center. What were some of your responsibilities? What'd you do?
So my internship actually started out through a very wide program just through Maine Health, which is the internship program that the big healthcare system that serves most of Southern Maine offers. And so originally I was in a different department learning about operations, but I quickly got a connection to the senior manager of facilities and operations. And I reached out to him and he explained to me that there's not a lot of kids interested in the field, which I was very interested in. In fact, I was at my laptop when I was plugging in Excel sheets on one part of the screen, and the other part of the screen, I was looking at generator diagrams. So I knew I was interested in how things worked, and this very niche area of healthcare I started working in, and little by little, I was handed more responsibility under his supervision, and also started aiding some of the other technicians in various projects throughout the summer. Specifically, one building that I was assigned to, I did a lot of work for, which is a brand new medical office building. That was put up in Scarborough. So it's not actually in Portland, but there's a neurology suite there. There's a spine suite there. There's all kinds of operations that go on there, including MRI. And so I was basically tasked with taking care of work orders for that building and eventually doing some of the compliance and regulations parts of healthcare, which I'll get into later. But really overseeing that building, because we needed a lot of help, was an awesome experience for me, especially with all the things that come with the installment of a brand new building for a practice. So,
and it sounds like you kind of carved out this position then, like to find the place that really fit your interests.
I've kind of been the guinea pig for our department, I guess you could say, as far as someone who's interested in the facility side of healthcare. It's a super niche thing and we need more people to go into that field. And so now I've kind of piloted this fellowship program, which hopefully helps more kids be interested in what I'm doing.
Well, I think, nearly 2 years into the COVID pandemic, most people probably have a better understanding of how critical hospital facilities and maintenance are to healthcare. What are some of the things you think people should know about this side of the work and some surprising or unexpected aspects to the role?
That's a great question. I think that the first thing they should know is that there's many, many different regulations in healthcare compared to a normal building when you're managing facilities, right? And that gets even further divided when you're talking about medical office buildings, which, there are specific parameters that they'll fall into, but medical office buildings versus what they call a healthcare occupancy versus what they call an ambulatory occupancy. So those all get separated. And one of the big things to understand is that each one is regulated to a different degree. So if you're in a really massive hospital, like I'll give an example of 22 Bramhall Street, which most people, when they think of Maine Medical Center, that's the big building where a lot of operations go on. That is regulated to a different degree than my building that I was in charge of, just because there's not as many critical things inside of it. It's still important nonetheless, but the first thing I'd say is it's very important to realize that each one of them needs to be monitored to a different degree, which I've learned as I've gone on. Secondly, I will say that another thing people need to understand is that anytime that there is some work being done inside of these different kinds of healthcare occupancies, there's different procedures that you have to follow. So it's not as simple as me going up to a wall, tearing it down and installing something. You have to install different protections that are there to help patients and staff not get contaminants into their bodies that you're doing with construction. You need to do balancing tests to make sure that the air pressure and those relationships are proper for the rooms that are installed there. And also, like you mentioned, Liz, the COVID has really made a couple significant changes, some of them which I've learned about at seminars, which I'll go into. But one of them is the amount of outside air that was being put into the building during the COVID pandemic. A lot of newer, what they call air handlers, those kinds of units and machinery are now operating with taking in 100% outside air. And so that's been a thing that's helped make some of the air pressure relationships more clean in our facilities. And, you know, going forward, like you said, I think that the people that work in this industry deserve a lot of credit because they're making these environments safer during a pandemic for the patients, which is really, really important. And what our overall goal is to do is to make staff and patients comfortable and safe in our facilities.
And they probably, like you said, had to learn things pretty quickly and adapt and change things pretty quickly in the last 18 months to 2 years as we learn more about everything about COVID.
So. Absolutely, yeah.
So what's it been like to continue to work remotely this year?
So it's been nothing short of amazing. I mean, at first I was really kind of upset that I made all this progress in the summer. And I wouldn't, as you know, the facilities and engineering side of things is a very hands-on part of healthcare. So doing something remotely, I was a little worried about what that would look like. But my supervisor and also some of the other individuals that I work with have done a great job with giving me products and helping to teach me something each day, in addition to getting paid for the work that I do. So, for example, I've had some tasks with generating contracts recently for our buildings, which essentially is an agreement with a company that you work with that states the terms and conditions, and most importantly, outlines the standards that you're going to follow when the work is done. So a lot of the work that I do remotely is based around sustainability, number one, and number two, regulatory compliance. So I'm responsible, like I said, for a few different buildings in particular, but now I'm kind of expanding our contracts to make sure that all the language is right, so that when there's a survey being done by an organization such as the Joint Commission, which you might be familiar with, they basically will not find anything on their survey that's problematic because they want to see certain things in your contract agreements. So that's just an example of what I do on a daily, on one of the projects that I've been taking care of. And then on a daily basis, what I do is I monitor things that go on in the specific buildings that I'm assigned to. So for example, we have a work order system. And if staff are having problems in the building, then what I will do is I'll reach out to the correct person that needs to get the work done. And even though I'm not there, I can basically send emails and look at work orders that staff are putting in. So I have this remote access, which is really great. And I guess the last thing that I want to mention about working remotely and what it's been like is it's given me a great appreciation for the people that I work with and their willingness to teach me online. I mean, I have many different people that will sign me up for webinars, many different people that will, you know, task me with a certain lesson for the day, specifically my supervisor. And it's just been great because I've been learning about stuff through Providence College that I'm interested in, while at the same time learning about some of the things that it takes to be successful in our line of work. So it's overall been a really great experience.
Well, I think that might be a great segue to talk a little bit about how you first became interested in health policy and management. How'd you pick your major?
So it's funny, Liz, is that when I was looking at schools, I was already interested in going into the healthcare field. And so when I first started searching for schools, I wanted one that was in more of a city environment, because as you know, where I live is kind of rural. And I wanted to get that experience with, you know, obviously a good education with a smaller class, so I get an individualized approach. And Providence College fit both of those categories and also had the health policy and management major. Obviously, not every school offers that to kids. So I didn't necessarily know what I wanted to do, but I knew it because they were offering that. And I attended, you know, events beforehand for health policy and management majors, and I really, really liked the department and the teachers that I was introduced to. And so I guess that might answer your question.
Yeah, definitely. And we're talking on January 21st, which is the end of the first week of the spring semester. How are things going so far?
Thanks for asking. They're going great. It's interesting because now I'm at a point where I've been a health policy management major throughout. I've taken most of the classes as a senior, and now I'm finishing out a lot of different electives that our department offers. So I've really enjoyed learning about public health and administration. That's a class I'm taking right now, as well as diet, health, nutrition, and obesity in the U.S. That's another elective I've taken. The main thing that I try to do when, as somebody who's been in the HPM major for a while and I have people reach out to me, is talk to them about how many different things you can do with the major, which is another reason why I picked it. I mean, certainly I've kind of been the guinea pig for some of my professors working with me with the niche area that I'm in, but also I want to be somebody who can explain the different avenues you can take for a major, because I've taken so many different classes.
Now, we'd be remiss if I didn't ask you about your 2 years working with Physical Plant. What are some of the skills you learned there that have helped you in your role now with Maine Medical Center?
Yeah, so at first when I was working for the Physical Plant, it really made sense to me because, as you can probably see from some of my other experiences, I've really worked a long time in my life with a lot of hands-on type things. And so having that gave me a break from the day-to-day schoolwork I had, and was great to, you know, kind of feel like I was welcomed into their workforce and the stuff that they do on campus. And so at first I was tasked with some pretty basic things, but eventually my supervisor, who was the manager of all the HVAC operations on campus, as well as the actual executive director of the Physical Plant, Andrew Sullivan, I really started creating a really good relationship with both of them, and they, along with the technicians that were underneath them, and they taught me some very valuable things about how machinery works, what it takes to run a heating plant for the whole campus, how do you cool down different parts of campus, how do we basically organize controls for building automation for our machinery to make sure everything's running on a schedule. And even some parts, like I was talking about, of regulatory compliance. I really got some great exposure from Andrew Sullivan, who's the executive director of the Physical Plant. And I eventually curated a good enough relationship with them where they were able to advocate for some of the experience I got from them when it came time to my internship. So they actually were some of the people that helped me get my internship, which I'm incredibly thankful for. And I try to stop in and see those guys as much as I can, because they really don't get enough credit for how much they do for our campus. They make it a safe space, just like I was talking about before. And I'm really fortunate to have those guys' connections to this day. So,
yeah, I think everybody on campus who's been here for a little while recognizes the value of Physical Plant. And they're an amazing team of folks with great attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
You've been involved with several professional organizations. Could you tell us a little bit about them and how they've assisted with your career journey?
Absolutely. The first organization that I've been a part of and really helped gain my interest for the field, as long as shadowing some people in the field, is the American Society of Healthcare Engineering, or ASHE. And so there's a lot of organizations inside of the American Hospital Association that if you're interested in a certain area of healthcare, you can join. And what ASHE does with people in our field of healthcare facilities management is give you anything from continuing education credits to workshops that you can attend to further your knowledge, to updates on recent codes that are going on in the media, or just things that different organizations have put in place. And most of all, they give you certifications that are helpful and nationally recognized. So for instance, the one I'm going for right now is called a Certified Healthcare Facility Manager, which is a certification through ASHE. And it's one of the really important things that you need to gain, because it has many, many different competency areas for people that are interested in our field. So that's the first one I'm part of, and it's been a great help. And I hope more people use its resources, because they're awesome people there. The second one is NEHES, or the New England Healthcare Engineer Society. And so that's basically a subdivision of ASHE, okay? But there's different chapters for each New England states. And there's one for my home state that I'm involved with as well. And so I've been a student member, part of that committee, and I actually attended a conference in Newport last semester, where I was able to meet different individuals who are part of that organization. And they're even more tightly connected, because as you can imagine, there's only so many people who do what we do in the New England region. So if you have a question and you want to bounce it off one of your colleagues from the New England Healthcare Engineer Society, it's just click of a button and you can get some great information. I have colleagues that I've met that are my age, which is even more rare, you know, for the field that we're going into, or that I'm going into. And so that's also been a great kind of welcoming thing for me as I've progressed along. And the last one is more of a regulatory thing, and it's the National Fire Protection Association. This is another really helpful resource for people that are going into our field because it essentially outlines and governs a lot of the codes that we follow in healthcare. So I'm a member of their organization, so I can stay up to date on different codes, like I mentioned, and requirements. And it's just super valuable for people that are looking to advance in the field quicker. So, yeah.
Excellent. And I think it sounds like you've gotten the chance to do a little public speaking and presenting as part of your experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Through my job, like I said, I've had to interact with a lot of different practice managers from my buildings. And it's been great because as we're opening this new building, I've had to hold meetings myself with the help of some of our vendors and my supervisor. Just to tell them about and kind of explain some of these complicated things around machinery for people that are on the clinical side. But it's important to feel like they have an advocate working for them to make sure their space is safe and also comfortable for all of them. So I actually organized a meeting over winter break with a bunch of different clinical supervisors and practice managers. And certainly I attribute a lot of the skills that I've learned from ASHI and NIHIS too.
You mentioned the hands-on work that you've been doing throughout your life. Alex, could you tell us a little bit more about some of the work you've done, especially that business you started when you were 13?
Yeah. So when I was younger, I was preparing to, buy my first car, and I kind of owe it to my family, but also some of the people in my neighborhood I grew around with that were saying, there's a lot of people that are older in age that are in our neighborhood that might need help with certain things. Like, do you think you could design something to, A, make a little money for school, but more importantly, just start relationships with these people and help them out. And so I started mowing one lawn, sixth grade, and then I learned a little more about it, turned into three in seventh grade. And it kept growing and growing until I decided one day that I was going to actually try to get into a real trade because, mowing lawns was good, but it wasn't anything that I knew I was destined, was really teaching me a ton. I mean, I was using my mower to go around the neighborhood, but I didn't have any kind of real business model, and I wanted to get into that kind of world. So when I was 16, I joined a painting crew, a small group of people in a town called Aroustook, which is very small on the coast of Maine. And so underneath, once again, another great mentor that I had, he taught me how to paint houses. And because he was older in age, eventually he ended up letting me take a lot of the operations into my own hands by the time that I was getting older in high school. And so I painted houses on the coast of Maine with him and two other really great coworkers of mine for about six summers. And so kind of the capstone of that was when I was done with learning those things over that long period of time, I got some valuable experience knowing how business operations go, kind of profits and the costs associated with that. And even more than that, I was exposed to dealing with customers and how to give them, what they're looking for. But the biggest thing that I got out of that experience was that I was able to take a skill and always have work for myself whenever I needed it. So what I started doing is painting houses by myself, even after, for people that I knew. And so when the summer of 2021 came around, I was kind of stuck because my boss had retired. They were kind of slowing down stuff on the painting crew. And I said, let's take my skills and see if I can tackle this by myself. So right before my internship started, I actually painted a whole house by myself. It took about 4 weeks, and it was a really good, accumulation of the skills I learned. And that's why I tell everybody that it's really, really good to get into a trade when you're younger, because it's a skill you could take with you for the rest of your life. It's fun to be outside during your summers. And more than that, it pays really well. So, you could definitely help afford some of the stuff that you need when you do go into school.
And have you been able to use some of these, the funds you've raised to fund some hobbies in your past? I'm curious what you do in your spare time, especially as this pandemic stretches on. People seem to have a little bit more spare time than they normally do.
Yeah, absolutely. I really enjoy the outdoors. I'm from Maine, and so I do a ton of hiking. In the winter, I snowmobile and go ice fishing. And, in the summer, I also do a fair deal of bass fishing and trout fishing as well. So that's definitely my first love, is just doing things in the outdoors. A lot of hiking with some of my friends and family, but also I've always had a hobby of working on cars. My grandpa kind of passed that on to me when I was very young. And so we used to work on his old muscle cars together a little bit, as well as my dad helping me out understand some of these mechanical things. And so over time, I've had a lot of trial and error, you know, working on my own vehicles and stuff. But yeah, it's definitely been helpful to fund that hobby of mine, because once again, it's just a skill that I've learned over the past through doing different things. And I continue to do that now. And I think I'll be a car guy the rest of my life, for the better or worse. I don't know.
And were you able to raise the money to buy that first car?
My parents did help me out with my first one, I'm not going to lie. But over time, then they got sick of me. And so they basically said, you're on your own. So yeah, over time, I have been able to.
Well, Alex, it's been wonderful chatting with you today. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure. It's great to talk to you as well.
All right. Subscribe to the Providence College Podcast in all the usual places, including iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify, as well as your smart speaker. If you like what you hear, please review and share with others. Thanks for listening, and go Friars.